Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio. And our friends in the public media spectrum across the Yellowstone region, bringing you the latest news. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. It is Thursday, the 6th of August, 2026. The Granite County Sheriff's Office issued an evacuation warning Tuesday for the Frog Pond Basin area in Granite County due to nearby Moose Fire. A warning means residents should prepare now for a possible evacuation order if conditions worsen. The fire was first discovered July 26th. It is burning about 20 miles east of Darby in the Beaverhead Deer Lodge National Forest. Starting Friday, August 7th at midnight, Carter County will enter Stage 1 fire restrictions. That will include all fish, wildlife, and parks properties in the county entering Stage 1 restrictions as well. That includes Medicine Rocks State Park. Under Stage 1 restrictions, building, maintaining, attending, or using a fire or campfire at FWP sites is not allowed. People also may not smoke except within an enclosed vehicle or building, a developed recreation site. Recreationists may cook on a liquid petroleum gas or propane stove that can be turned on and off. Bighorn and Richland counties are in Stage 1 fire restrictions. That includes all FWP properties in those counties. In Bighorn County, that includes Chief Plenty Coop State Park, Rosebud Battlefield State Park, and Tongue River Reservoir State Park. For a complete list of FWP sites impacted by Stage 1 fire restrictions, visit fwp.mt.gov. Ravalli County will enter Stage 2 fire restrictions starting Friday, August 7th. That means campfires, smoking, fireworks, and the use of motor vehicles outside of designated roads and trails will be prohibited. Other activities, like using chainsaws, will also be prohibited between certain hours. These rules also apply to Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks lands in Ravalli County. County emergency management personnel said in a press release the restrictions come in response to record-setting temperatures and dry fuel conditions in the region. More information can be found at ravallicounty.gov. More information can be found at ravallicounty.gov. A court hearing took place Wednesday afternoon in the recent Customs and Border Protection arrest of a man who's been living in Montana for the last 10 years. Attorneys for Jesus Hernandez say authorities pressured him to agree to self-deport after he was taken into custody on July 30th. They claim he's one of a number of people being held in Cascade County under similar circumstances and are asking for his release. A federal judge has signed off on an order that prevents any of those men from being removed from the state before another hearing on the matter, which has been set for August 18th. Wyoming counties that allowed their law enforcement officers to be deputized as U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents did so illegally, according to information obtained through a public records request by the American Civil Liberties Union of Wyoming. Eric Galatas with Wyoming News Service has more.
Critics of the federal 287G program say it's diverting law enforcement resources away from public safety priorities. Jana Farley with the ACLU of Wyoming says it also keeps people from calling for help when crimes are committed.
If they see something going on in the community, they're going to be less likely to call law enforcement because they don't want to have a magnifying glass on their community. They could get caught up into ICE and perhaps someone they know or love could be deported.
All Wyoming counties failed to hold a notice or comment period before entering into agreements with ICE, a violation of the Wyoming Administrative Procedures Act. Farley adds Campbell, Hot Springs, Lincoln, and Natrona counties were unable to produce any records showing that the agreements had been approved by county commissioners. Defenders of the 287G program say it's necessary to fulfill President Donald Trump's campaign promises of mass deportations. I'm Eric Galatas.
August 5th is the anniversary of a tragic event in wildfire history in Montana. It was on this date in 1949, 13 U.S. Forest Service smoke jumpers lost their lives in the Man Gulch Forest Fire in the Helena National Forest. Of the 16-member crew that was overrun by the fire, only three men survived. On Wednesday, Governor Greg Gianforte proclaimed August 5th Man Gulch Fire Smoke Jumper Memorial Day in honor of the men who lost their lives fighting the Man Gulch Fire. In his proclamation, the governor said, "The memory of these smoke jumpers reminds us of the risks our firefighters take every day protecting our communities from wildfire." The tragedy of Mann Gulch greatly influenced the future of wildfire suppression, research, new training techniques, and safety measures for firefighters. The Mann Gulch fire was the basis for Norman MacLean's 1992 award-winning nonfiction book, Young Men and Fire, and was the inspiration for a 1952 feature film, Red Skies of Montana. The state is looking for public comment on a potential tungsten mine in the Flint Creek Mountains of southwest Montana. Montana Public Radio's Victoria Traxler has more on the Finley Basin Exploration Project.
Australia-based mining company Iris Metals wants to explore about a one-acre area in that region seeking tungsten. The U.S. government considers tungsten a critical mineral. It's used to make things like jet engines, ammunition, and mining equipment. Finley Basin sits at the base of Racetrack Peak, a 9,500-foot mountain east of Phillipsburg. Its tributaries feed into Flint Creek, a popular destination for fly fishing tucked in the Beaverhead Deer Lodge National Forest. The exploration project would drill up to 16 holes, including through pockets of groundwater. It also proposes using helicopter to fly up to 12,000 gallons of water a day into the area. Montana Department of Environmental Quality drafted an environmental assessment that found no significant impacts are likely to result from the project. That assessment is available for public comment until Friday, August 14th. In Missoula, I'm Victoria Traxler.
The Flathead National Forest has approved a plan to replace and modernize a wastewater treatment system for western Montana's Holland Lake Lodge. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports.
The privately owned lodge operates on national forest land and is managed by the Flathead National Forest. State environmental officials in 2023 determined its wastewater lagoon had been leaking for an undetermined amount of time. After several years working up a fix, the forest Tuesday released its decision. The reconstructed system will be an updated lagoon-type facility like what exists now. Officials say it will provide better ability to detect leaks. They add it will also ensure there's adequate separation between lagoon bottoms and groundwater. Forest Supervisor Anthony Botello says the lagoon will be smaller than what was proposed earlier this year. The project, however, will have a larger footprint than the existing system. Condon-based nonprofit Stewards of the Swan Valley issued a statement Wednesday citing concerns the proposal uses tax dollars to build a system that benefits a private lodge on public lands. The group says it will determine its next steps based on a close analysis and public comments. Construction is set to begin next year, with completion expected by 2028. Reporting from Missoula, I'm Edward O'Brien.
Fisheries managers will close the Upper Shields River watershed next week to do conservation work in the Custer-Gallatin National Forest. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks announced the upcoming closure Wednesday ahead of efforts to bolster native trout populations. According to FWP, competition from non-native trout is an ongoing threat to native Yellowstone cutthroat trout in the Custer-Gallatin National Forest. FWP and the forest began efforts to cut down on the non-native fish population starting 4 years ago. They say the watershed is part of the fish's upper range and a core population in higher elevations. This summer, they plan to use a common toxin in fisheries management to target parts of the Upper Shields River Basin and kill non-native fish in tributaries, including Dugout Creek. They will remove the native fish beforehand and detoxify downstream of the treatment area afterwards. The area will be closed August 10th through the 18th. Governor Greg Gianforte has declared a disaster in the city of Glasgow following severe flash flooding over the 4th of July weekend. The slow-moving storms damaged several businesses and a number of roads in the area. The order allows the use of state resources to help address resulting issues. It also supports coordination between the state, Valley, county, and the city of Glasgow in assessing damage and addressing immediate public safety concerns. Conservation groups are asking a U.S. District Court in Great Falls to restore grazing rights for bison in north-central Montana. This week, American Prairie filed a lawsuit to restore their permits before they officially lose grazing rights on federal lands this fall. Environmental group Western Watersheds Project is also challenging the decision. The Bureau of Land Management had previously permitted conservation group American Prairie to use public lands in Phillips County for its bison herd. Last year, the BLM reconsidered the allowance at the request of the state and other groups that argue bison compete with cattle grazing and provide little value to the public as livestock. The Bureau of Land Management revoked its prior authorization of bison grazing earlier this year, effective in late September. In its lawsuit this week, American Prairie argues their herd contributes thousands of pounds of meat every year and helps restore the natural biodiversity of the prairie ecosystem. If unsuccessful, American Prairie must remove nearly 1,000 bison from public lands by September 30th. Helena artist Rebecca Hutchinson is at Yellowstone Art Museum. Embedded in the overlap is inspired by aspects of the city's distinctive character, the history of settlement along the geographically prominent rim rocks, the industries that sustain its communities, and the dramatic and often unpredictable weather of the plains. For the exhibit, diverse materials from the Billings region, such as beet pulp, blue jeans, creek willow, and regional clay, are carefully collected and transformed by Hutchinson. Much of the organic and fibrous content is boiled, pulped, and poured into large sheets of paper. The paper sheets are further cut, coated in clay, and coiled to build up the vessel forms. Connecting to people and place is important to Hutchinson, and she found her voice through art organically.
I think it was a combination of recognizing that materials had meaning and that objects had a role in connecting with people. And I loved that. And I grew into that as a undergrad student and then deciding to go into graduate school and deciding that I wanted to always be a maker and have always been a maker since that time. And so that was my form of connecting to people, right?
Helena artist Rebecca Hutchinson is at YAM Thursday evening for a 5 p.m. talk in the Murdoch Gallery, with reception to follow in the Montana Gallery. Embedded in the Overlap opened April 6th. It runs through January 9th of 2027. That's The Worm for this Thursday. Catch up with us tomorrow. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.